Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel home. Feel at home.
Hello and welcome to the My Home is on the Road show. This is the show that brings you stories and music from the American road. My name is Dave Manning, and I make my living traveling up and down the West Coast playing the blues in bars and casinos and wherever we'll pay the bills. And on this show, I bring you stories from the road and also music from other artists I meet in my travels. And this week's show, we're going to focus on healthcare. And those of you that have heard the show before, once in a while I rant slightly about that, but this week's show we're going to actually get to visit with my sister, who is a doctor, and she works in one of the premier clinics in America, in the Lahey Clinic, just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. But before we get to sit down with my sister in her dining room, we're going to start this week's show with something that happened to me down in Prescott, Arizona this past fall. I was down there visiting with a friend of mine named Faith, who whose music I've played on this show before. She plays with a band called The Birds and the Bees. And usually when I travel through Prescott, I get to hang out a little bit with Faith. And this fall was no exception. And it was a particularly strange night in Prescott because the smoke had drifted down in town. There was a prescribed burn outside the city in the forest, and the smoke had kind of just settled down in the town in much the same way that a fog settles into San Francisco. And we went to the Lizard's Bar, which is right downtown in Prescott, and played some shuffleboard, and then we were out in the back patio just talking and drinking a beer. And she told me a story. She's a nursing student, and she works in one of the local hospitals. And she said this past week, this woman had come in, 28 years old, a single mom, complaining of some pain in one of her breasts. And they did some examination, some tests, and in short order, they figured out that she had breast cancer, and she had a bad. Pretty much, she was going to be dead within a year, and there wasn't much they could do. And they gave her that news, and she left the room. And Faith says that when she left the room, the other nurse that she was working with kind of turned to her and just said, "What just left the room is what's wrong with the healthcare system in this country."
But my kids were crying, "Stay with us, please." Then I stood at the tracks, then I hung my head low. As the train came in, I turned around slow.
Now, those of you that have listened to this show before have heard me mention healthcare once in a while, and I will tell you that right now is the time to write to your government representatives, your congressmen, your senators. It's very easy to do with email. Just find their website, and it'll tell you exactly how to email them. They want to hear from you. Be brief. Ask them simply to please put the government option back in the healthcare bill, or at least a non-profit option, and I'll tell you why. Corporations in this country are mandated by law to make money, to make as much money as possible for their shareholders. My dad is a financial advisor, and when I was getting into the market and starting to set up some retirement funds, one of the things I remember him saying was that some of the best places to put your money is it with healthcare corporations, because they over time have especially in the last 10-20 years, boom, that's where the profits are. And that's where the profits are mandated to be in the future. Not mandated, but predicted to be in the future. So if you don't know much about corporations, I would love to invite you to see a movie called The Corporation. So please, please seek that out. But if you don't, in short, remember, corporations by law are mandated to make money for their shareholders. That's what they have to do. And so there's three kinds of corporations that provide the healthcare for us in this country. There's, of course, our hospital corporations, insurance corporations, and drug corporations. First, I'll talk about hospitals. The conflict of interest, as politicians would say, is glaring here. Hospitals only make money when people are sick. Let's think about that for just a second. They only make money when people are sick. And every doctor I've ever met in my life really, truly just wants to help people and make them better. I can tell you that. But if you are working in a system where the only way that the system makes money, mandated by law to make money, is when people are sick, there's a glaring conflict of interest there. Let's talk about insurance corporations. Insurance corporations are basically betting houses. The whole insurance idea, the whole idea of selling insurance began by a group of people that used to place bets, and eventually they wound up placing bets, at the time it was in England, wound up placing bets on whether or not certain ships would make it back when they went to sail across the Atlantic Ocean. And so they would offer insurance. And insurance companies are much like gamblers. They're much more like the casinos themselves. The insurance companies have the infrastructure and they know the odds. They do a lot of research to figure out, much like a casino, that if, say, a person pays $100 a month for insurance, it's very unlikely that they will require more than $100 a month in payout anytime in the future. That's how they make their money, to put it quite simply. So insurance corporations make their money when we're healthy. They make their money when we're paying them for their insurance product, but yet we don't get sick, and so they don't have to pay any doctors on our behalf. That is good. That is them being motivated by the fact that we stay healthy, they make more money. The problem arises when we get sick. Let me tell you about my friend Joe. My friend Joe is a guy that was an amateur clown in Indiana. He's one of the most bombastic and beautiful personalities you'd ever hope to meet. And he's the kind of guy that loves to do things on the spur of the moment, is always willing to have a good time. And about 5 or 6 years ago, he was at the Porter County Fair in Indiana, where I went to high school. And he, on the spur of the moment, decided he was going to ride the mechanical bull at the county fair. They had it set up there in a little tent. Well, the mechanical bull eventually, he rode it for a little bit, it threw him off, and he happened to land just wrong. And he broke his back and severed part of his nerve stem, and he's been in a wheelchair ever since, paralyzed from kind of mid-chest down. And within a few months of him being paralyzed, the health insurance corporation that provided his health coverage found a way, through a technicality, to drop his coverage forever. So now my friend Joe is left having to pay, if you could imagine, the astronomical kind of healthcare bills you'd receive for the physical therapy and everything else that goes on with being paralyzed on top of just being paralyzed, left him high and dry. And also, I would really invite you to seek out an episode of a great radio show called This American Life. And this is one of the episodes from July of this past year, July of 2009, and the episode is called Fine Print. If you look up This American Life on Google, you will find it pretty quickly, and then go into their archives, look for the show called Fine Print, and about 30 minutes into the show, they have a great story about some little-known testimony to the United States Congress that went on this past year, I believe, in which a woman... in brief, she testifies to the fact that, like that 28-year-old woman that came into the hospital, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, a very aggressive form of breast cancer, so much so that her doctor said, wow, it's Thursday, I believe it was Thursday this week, we need to get you in surgery for a double mastectomy on Monday. And so she's preparing for that in her life, and over the weekend, her insurance company drops her insurance. Why did they drop her insurance? The reason that they cite was that there was something that she didn't put on her initial form, a visit to a dermatologist for acne. And even that dermatologist, when contacted, called the insurance company and said, for heaven's sakes, I was treating her for acne. This has nothing to do with her breast cancer. Please do not drop her coverage. It made no difference. They dropped her coverage. This was presented before the United States Congress. And then also on this radio show, they do a great job of presenting the CEO of some of these insurance companies also testify before Congress. And they had the gall to ask the CEO, what about this woman? What about this woman who you worked to deny coverage as the moment that she needed it most? And his only reaction to this, I invite you to listen for yourself, his only reaction to this is, we did not break any laws. And he's right. They didn't break any laws. At least not the laws of the land. Oh, I would also invite you to see the movie Sicko. It's a Michael Moore interview with the pluses and minuses that come with that. And he interviews one of the, and I forget what they're called, but we'll just call them the insurance adjusters. The insurance corporations in this country employ people full time, 40 hours a week, whose only job it is when someone like that woman that was diagnosed with breast cancer, or like any other person in this country, when they get sick, when they need the insurance, they actually need the insurance to pay for something. There are people working full time to find ways, to find little glitches in the fine print to get you kicked off of their insurance coverage. That way they don't have to pay for it. That way they can maximize their profits as they're mandated to do by law. And I can tell you, if you don't take Michael Moore's movies seriously, I can tell you something. I saw an interview recently in a newspaper where the vice president of a corporation called Sigma Health, the vice president actually resigned from the corporation because he finally said that he had had enough. And in an interview with Bill Moyers, he revealed that the insurance corporations got together, colluded, to try and defeat Michael Moore's film Sicko, because, as he put it, everything in that movie is the truth. What he says is what really goes on in our insurance corporation. So if you want to know anything about the healthcare debate, please go and see Sicko. So in short, the insurance corporations in this country are very much like casinos. They're making bets. They're making bets that you don't get sick. Essentially, they're making bets that they will have to pay out less money to pay for doctors and such for you than you will pay to them in your premiums. And there's a lot of people in this country that say casinos are immoral. But one thing I can tell you, having lived in Nevada and been in many, many casinos and won some money and lost some money, is that when you win money in a casino, when they lose the bet, they pay you whatever the bet was. They pay you with a smile on their face. Very much unlike the insurance corporations in this country who, when they lose the bet, try as hard as they can to not have to pay up. And finally, let's talk a bit about the drug corporations. We have the hospital corporations, the insurance corporations, and the drug corporations. Once again, they're corporations. They are mandated by law to maximize profits for their shareholders. And how do drug corporations make money? Simply put, they make money by selling us drugs, by selling us pills. I remember recently, actually it was maybe not even recently, but several years ago, I went to go see a doctor because once in a while in the mornings, I was waking up with a bit of a sore throat, though I wasn't getting a cold. And I went to go see a throat specialist, and he took a look with a special scope down my throat. He said, you know what? There's nothing really wrong, but you're clearly your throat is irritated by something. And more than likely what it is, this happens a lot, is that when you're sleeping, acid from your stomach is coming up and irritating your throat. And in his kind of knee-jerk reaction, he gave me some prescription medications that that reduce the amount of acid in your stomach. And I said to him, I had to stop him, almost grab him by the arm when he was leaving the room and say, wait, these pills will reduce the amount of acid in my stomach, so am I just supposed to take these the rest of my life? And he's like, well, you take them when you need them and you don't when you don't. And I was like, well, is there any sort of lifestyle changes I can make? Is there anything that might I can do myself besides taking pills that might decrease this from happening? And he stopped for a minute, and he reached down, he pulled out a file cabinet, and he pulled out an 8x10 sheet of paper that had been photocopied, and on it was a list of about 20 things that I could do to reduce this problem from happening. And as I read the list of 20 things, about 15, 16, maybe even 17 of them, of the things that said, be careful not to do this, were things that I did almost every day. And so I was just thinking to myself, my gosh, why is it that these simple things I can change in my life are the last things that I get told about?
You woke up today, the sun was on your face, looking for a reason, looking for your place.
So simply put, those drug corporations make money by selling us pills, and the way that they'll make the most money is if, like in the case of that acid reflux that I was suffering with, if they can make us buy these pills for the rest of our lives. That's how they make the most money. And so the problem is in addition to that the research and such that these drug companies fund is not the research that's going to save the most lives, not the research that's going to alleviate the most suffering. The research that gets funded by the drug companies is the research that's going to lead to them being able to sell the most pills down the line. They are mandated by our laws to make the most profits for their shareholders. So those things that I just laid out for you, the hospital corporations, the insurance corporations, the drug corporations, that is why I am deeply ashamed to be an American right now. We vote, each and every one of us, we vote for our representatives. So each and every one of us is responsible for the death and for the suffering that's been going on in this country purely in the name of profit. I don't support making profit off of death and suffering. That's against my morals. But apparently, I'm in the minority. Apparently, the majority of this country thinks that's okay. That's why I'm ashamed to be an American. So what other option is there besides having for-profit corporations running our healthcare? Perhaps a non-profit could do it. Perhaps we could set up a system. Can you imagine a system where healthcare decisions are made not by what would make the most money, but what would help the most people? In short, that's what's called socialized medicine. You do what's best for the society, and it is an imperfect system, for sure. But I have to tell you, there's a couple things that I've heard over and over again in the debate that's been going on about healthcare, and they kind of boil down to the two biggest oppositions I've heard to having a socialized healthcare system, or having a government-run system, or at the very least, having a not-for-profit system. Well, one of them, of course, is the very idea of having socialized medicine. We've come to be very afraid of the term socialized because we've been kind of brainwashed into thinking that socialism is like communism, is like Russia, is like China, is like all these bad things. But the fact of the matter is that we already have socialized medicine. In our country, we call it Medicare and Medicaid. In short, what it means is that when someone falls through the cracks, either they become old and they don't have health insurance, or, like my friend Joe, their health insurance company drops them and they wind up bankrupting themselves trying to pay for their own health care. What happens? Well, rather than let them just become destitute and wither to death on the streets, we do have a system for people that fall between the cracks. And that's where Medicare and Medicaid come in. Here's the problem. If these for-profit insurance corporations are able to drop people off their rolls when they become unprofitable, we, the taxpayers, have to pick up those cases, either through Medicare or Medicaid. So in effect, we're giving a backdoor subsidy to these big insurance corporations. They are able to retain the customers that make them money, and when a customer stops making them money, they're usually able to find a way to kick them off their rolls, and we, the taxpayers, we pick up all the money-losing cases. So yes, we already have socialized medicine in this country, but unfortunately, our government-run socialized medicine system only manages to take on the money-losing cases. It doesn't get the money-making cases. We save those for the for-profit corporations. The other big objection that I've heard over and over again in the healthcare debate to any sort of government-run or not-for-profit healthcare system is that there might be death panels. There might be someone in the government deciding, well, this person is sick, but we can't afford to give him that treatment. Well, guess what? We already have that. As I mentioned, if you watch the movie Sicko, which the vice president of Sigma Health Corporation says after he retired and said, you know what, I'm quitting this business because everything that Michael Moore said in the movie Sicko is correct. So it's not just Michael Moore saying this. This is a vice president of one of the major health corporations also verifying this. Essentially, in this country, we already have death panels. These for-profit insurance corporations that provide our health care, they have people working for them full-time, 40 hours a week, and I don't know what the exact term is. Let's call them insurance adjusters. But they are the people that when someone gets sick, they look through all the fine print and they look for ways for the insurance company to be able to drop them off their rolls. If that's not a death panel, what is? Alright, so if you're still listening to this show, you've been hearing me rant for quite a while about the sorry state of healthcare in this country. And instead of just listening to me talk, let's talk with my sister. Why would we talk with my sister? My sister is actually a doctor, as I mentioned at the top of the show. She is a doctor in one of the premier health clinics in the country, the Lahey Clinic, outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And one evening after dinner, my sister and her husband and I sat down and talked about the healthcare system, or the lack of healthcare system in this country. And the room's a bit echoey, that dining room, but you should be able to make out what we're talking about.
What would make our healthcare system better? What should come out of Washington
healthcare
to make
people.
This thing work? Because obviously now it's not working. Because people are suffering
exactly.
And dying.
Or
they don't need to.
Okay, so here's some of the issues I see at hand. United States people are afraid to talk about death. They blamed Obama and said that you're going to take away the care of my grandmother, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about doing things for people in the palliative care aspect, the end-of-life care. That's when we spend trillions of dollars on people, unnecessarily. Because you know what? If you just...
Yeah, you're going to spend a lot of money to make somebody last a month.
And yeah. It's in their last few years of someone's life that the majority of healthcare money is spent. And if you stop and bring in someone who, from a palliative care perspective, someone who speaks about hospice and speaks about comfort care measures, and a lot of times families are like, you know what? This is what we really want. We want, you know, dad to be comfortable and not have to suffer through all these other treatments and all this stuff. And you know what? Dad, that's what he said he would want. And the more people who are willing to talk about that, it's like the elephant in the room, you know? Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's there. And so that's another big thing. Like, so many people blamed Obama for being like, oh, how can you talk about this? And this is so awful. Like, you're going to kill off all the older people over 80. Like, everyone's going to die. No, that's not what he's trying to get at. It's getting people to talk about death and talk about it in a very reasonable fashion. And that's one of the things we have a great palliative care team in our hospital that when I feel like I'm dealing with a difficult family and trying to get expressed to them that really putting your loved one through all this rigmarole is not for their best interest. It's not what they would want, and it's not worth it because it's not going to get them any farther. You know, their quality of life is going to go to the toilet. You know, which one do you want
to
go for?
To give them 3 more days.
And that's when we get the palliative care team in there to be able to sit down and talk with the family. And it's just like, so that's one aspect, is the palliative care thing is like important because we have a huge aging population. And you need to be able to say, okay, who needs to have certain rigorous treatments, and who do you want to say, okay, you know, we've done what we can do, and we can't really do much more. It's going to make quality of life better.
Yeah, we might be able to keep your body alive.
Yeah,
but not you.
You, right? So that's one big issue. The other issue is, you know, the tort reform. That was the other big issue. Is like, how can we be? How can we help the government and do what the government wants us to do as far as, ordering fewer tests and doing things, but making sure we document everything and following all these rules if there's all these potential
lawsuits
waiting to happen? So there has to be more tort reform.
Very efficient. Would you as a doctor want to see a government-run healthcare system?
I don't know that I really agree with it.
You think doctors have to practice defensive medicine? Wait until the government needs to practice it.
I just feel like the government... The reason I say that is because just coming from a perspective of knowing someone who's come into our program who is a physician but doesn't practice what we do necessarily, and seeing that unless you do what that person is doing and what the doctors are doing, you don't understand. You're not going to be able to understand. You're not going to be able to say what we need and what we don't need and how we can do it better, because you're coming from an outside perspective. And, you know, if an administrator comes up to you and says, we need to do X, Y, and Z, but we're like, what the f***? How can we do X, Y, and Z? There's no way to do it. That's why I'm afraid of the government trying to run something. It's not going to work. It's not going to work because they don't actually do it.
All right, me and my sis and her husband there talking about the healthcare or the lack of healthcare system in this country. So the time is now to write to your government representatives. They all have websites, and it's easy to go to their website and email from there. Now is the time. Make it brief, but let them know that you want to bring back the government option, or you want to at least have a not-for-profit option in our healthcare system. And the way things that they are proposing now is not what we want. We don't want a system where everyone in the country is mandated to purchase insurance from one of these for-profit healthcare corporations. That's kind of what's getting kicked around now. It's a compromise, and that's actually the last thing we want, because the root of the problem is the for-profit corporations running our healthcare system. We need to get rid of those, not give more money to those by mandating that everyone has to get their insurance from one. So anyway, that's it for the My Home is on the Road show this week. My name is Dave Manning. Thank you for listening, and thanks to Groundswell Media Productions for keeping my website up and running, where you can listen to any of the My Home is on the Road shows archived there, or you can hear more about my music. In the background this week, we had music from Dan Baker, and we also had music from Brandon Decker. So safe travels, and have yourself a fantastic day.